Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Well, if you weren't stressed when you came in this morning after that video, you are stressed now, right? A little anxious. We're going to have the offering buckets come by in just a moment here, but does that remind anyone of 2013? Maybe just a little bit. I can call some of you out because I know that was what your life was like last year. Did you live by the motto, full speed ahead, and was your calendar constantly packed, and was it a delicate balance last year between productivity and a nervous breakdown? I mean, were you kind of teetering either? You weren't sure if you were being productive or if you're ready to just kind of check out into a hospital somewhere. And, well, we start a new series this year. I'm always excited for the new year where we can set a different direction and a different course in 2014. But I'm telling you that it's not going to happen by accident. So we start a new series called Margin, Life with Room to Breathe. I was at a friend's house last week, and he was showing me the new theater room that he put in for his family. It was the family Christmas gift, and he went all out. I mean, this screen that, I don't know, it's like 700 inches wide or something. It's like fills the wall, and it's 3D and theater-style seating and surround sound. And I'm just going to be honest, I coveted in my heart. I was jealous, and I wanted it, and I sinned because I thought, God, why not me? And I went home to my little 50-inch flat panel plasma, and I threw it out in the front yard because I was like, you know, it wasn't good for me. And they wanted to demonstrate the 3D ability, so he put in a Nitro Circus 3D, and we're watching it with these glasses. If you don't know who or what Nitro Circus is, it's an action sport collective, and they basically travel around the world trying to invent new ways to kill themselves is what I think that they do. And if it has wheels or if it slides, man, these guys will figure out a way to jump it. And they take everything they do, it goes to the extreme, stunts to the edge where there's no margin for error. I mean, the guy's like sailing on a bathtub or something. And like, look at, I mean, come on. Who does that? Who sits around and says, you know what would be a good idea? Who does that? And I remember my time with a big wheel when I was younger, having a blast, but never did I think, let's get that big wheel up to 40 miles an hour and jump the house, right? I mean, that was never my idea, but they push stunts to the edge that the slightest mistake, there's no margin for error, and the slightest mistake, it's one of those walk to the light moments. I mean, that's kind of, it's life or death, and the thing of it is stuff like this, it makes for great television. I mean, I was watching it, and I was like, captivated by it, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was kind of hoping for a wreck, you know, because, does that make me bad? Because I know you do the same thing. It's the only reason we watch NASCAR, right? Cars making left-hand turns, we're hoping for the crash. And so I'm watching, I didn't want anyone to die, but maybe just a big splat or something, you know, like that, and kind of keep it interesting. Oh, don't like think that I'm not the only one. Remember that tightrope walker last year who walked across the Grand Canyon, that Nick Winalda or something like that? Remember watching this on television? Why did you watch it? Because you thought he might fall, right? Because you take that same rope and you put it 3 feet off the ground, no one's watching it. It's not a big deal. And so there is something intriguing about someone who pushes a stunt to the very edge. There's something intriguing about someone who performs a task with absolutely no margin for error that it's life or death. And while it's interesting to watch someone perform without margins or perform on the edge, it can be rather disturbing to see someone actually live their life on the edge. Someone who is actually living a life that is unsustainable, a life that is without margin and no room for error, pushing it so close to the edge that the slightest slip causes everything to fall apart. Life without margin, no room for error. And maybe there's people in your life that you know that live like this. Maybe you live like this. In some areas, I live like this. Where we push it right to the very edge. We watch someone live in a way that is completely unsustainable. And that's how most of us in our society today we live, with so little margin that even the slightest unforeseen bill makes our finances crumble. So little margin that one wrong slip up in the schedule and everything goes haywire, and there's frustration and there's stress, and mom's angry and dad's stressed out. So little margin morally that even the slightest step puts us over the moral line. Future is stained. We live so close to the edge, no margin in our marriage, that even just one more slight little slip up, one more straw, and the family is devastated. Now listen, in the real world, living without margin, living without room for error, is not exhilarating, it's exhausting. And that's part of what we're going to talk about in this series. Because we live in a culture that demands us to go to the edge. We live in a culture that constantly pushes us to be more and to accomplish more and to strive for more and to accomplish and conquer more. And the question that I just want to ask today in 2014, as we kick off this series, as we kick off a new year, is that the kind of pace that you really want to live? Is it really sustainable? Do you want to live a type of life with so little margin for error that we're constantly picking ourselves up from the latest event that pushed us over the edge? But this is our culture today. This is our existence today. Schedules stretched so thin, running kids 5 nights a week, our schedule going crazy, finances pushed to the edge, working more, seeing family less, relationships stressed, living without margin, and we continue to push ourselves closer and closer to the edge in the pursuit of happiness. But someone needs to ask, are you really any happier? Because most of the times what I find is sometimes in our pursuit of happiness, it stretches our time and our relationships and our finances so thin that our pursuit of happiness actually has made us miserable. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Because the bills are going to start coming in for Christmas, and you're thinking, man, if I had a little financial margin, I would be a lot more at peace and a lot happier right now. But this pursuit, I think, actually makes us unhappy. And so what is margin? Let's define what margin is. Years ago, Andy Stanley did a series, and he defined margin this way. He said, it's the amount available beyond what is necessary. That's what margin is. The amount available beyond what is necessary. It's the difference between what you have and what you need. Now, let me tell you how that works. If, for example, you have 30 minutes to be somewhere and it's going to take you 20 minutes to get there, you have a 10-minute margin. If you have $100 in your pocket and you have $80 worth of bills, you have a $20 margin. It's the difference between what you have and what you need. It's the extras or it's the reserves. And here's the thing. We need margin. Matter of fact, we only don't need margin, we crave margin. Next time, try to read a newspaper or a book that doesn't have margins. It's confusing. I mean, if it goes from side to side, completely to one side or the other, it is confusing because we crave margin and we need margin. Highways without margins are unsafe. Put that picture up of the $1 million highway. There is no margin. Have you ever drove the $1 million highway in Colorado? Beautiful drive. But literally, the margin, the road ends, and here's the cliff. Now, roads like this don't make for a happy wife. Just so if you haven't driven that, we've done it both in the car and in the motorcycle. And when I was younger, my dad was crazy. He did it in a motorhome. So imagine being in a motorhome, taking those turns. You're literally hanging over the cliff as you're making these turns. We crave margin. When you're driving down the road, you don't want a road like that because it makes you nervous. You want a road with a little bit extra, a little bit of margin. You ever fly overseas in a seat that had no margin? I'm a big guy. We've flown to India several times. I've been several places around the world. It's miserable because while I can fit in the seat, there is no extra room beyond what is absolutely necessary. Last time we were in India, we flew on an airline called Kingfisher. The least amount of legroom on any airplane I've ever been on, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, the back of the seat was here, and my seat was here. And we had a guy on our team, he's 6'8", Carl Wunsch, and his legs were wrapped behind his head. It was that difficult. I'm telling you, there was no margin. It was horrible. We need margin beyond that which is available or that which is necessary. How does margin play out in everyday life? Well, margin would be showing up 5 or 10 minutes early so you're not always stressed. Financial margin would mean that you actually have money left over at the end of the month that you can put away, that when an emergency comes up, you're not spiraling out of control because you have margin built into your finances. Margin is having distance between you and the temptation that is trying to destroy you. If you're walking on the edge right next to your temptation, you have no margin. One slight slip and you step over the line and the consequences could be devastating. Margin is when a crisis in life hits you, but you have the emotional bandwidth, the emotional reserve to deal with it and not flip out, not start unleashing on our children or coworkers or whoever it was that brought the bad news because we have emotional margin to deal with it. Margin could be having a couple nights a week where there is absolutely nothing on your schedule to do. Zero. Margin could simply be having time to think and reflect and meditate and pray and to dream. Listen, life without margin is chaotic. And more than that, it's unsustainable. Because here's what happens. When margins decrease, let me show you three things that happen. When margins decrease, stress will increase. Every time that your margins start to shrink, your stress starts to go up. Let me give you an example. It's 30 minutes for you to get to the most important meeting of your life. And you leave, you know, it's going to take you 30 minutes to get there, and you leave 40 minutes before the meeting. So you have a 10-minute margin. Now, why you would leave for the most important meeting in your life with only a 10-minute margin, I don't know, but some of us would do that. And your stress is down here because you have a 10-minute margin. But then at Bell and Grand, you get hit with one of our famous surprise trains. And it is the longest train that's ever come through Surprise or ever has traveled anywhere in the world. And you're waiting. It's one of those trains that after the last cart goes, it starts to back up. You know those? I think they do that just to jack with us. I don't know what they're doing. And it starts to back up. And now you have lost 6 minutes of your margin. What starts to happen is your margin starts to decrease. Your stress starts to go up. And you think, well, I can make up for this time because I'm a good driver and I will weave in and out and I'll catch every green light. And then you get caught behind this pastor driving a Prius. Don't know which pastor it might be. Could be any pastor. And pastor is milking the gas mileage because it's the only reason you drive a Prius and he's getting 54 miles of the gallon out of it. And so he's driving 37 and a 45. And he sees you behind him with your stress rising and you're starting to mouth words and you're starting to get angry, which causes him to drive slower. Don't know which pastor this could be, but let's just, he's driving slower and you're watching the clock tick by. What happens is your margins decrease. Man, your stress is starting to rise because anytime, hear me, anytime your margin decreases, your stress goes up. And so now you're driving like a madman and you're going crazy and you're running red lights and you're screaming at people that are only driving 8 miles over the speed limit and you're weaving in and out and, you know, giving all kinds of finger salutes and you got your little reveal decal on the back window because nothing says come to reveal like a crazy driver and a finger salute, right? I mean, that's church at its best. When our margins decrease, our stress increases. Same is true financially. As your financial margin decreases, your stress goes up. Now, when the checkbook is already stretched thin and a new bill comes in, what happens? Man, it's all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of worry, all kinds of stress. I remember early on, you know, when our even as much as, you know, 10 years ago and 15 years ago, and I mean, we were on the edge and my wife would come in and say, you know, our child needs glasses. I'm like, tell him to squint. I squinted. It's okay. Shoes aren't really that necessary, right? And it causes you to go over the edge because financial margin causes stress when your finances are closing. Early on in our marriage, about 2 years into our marriage, I went into the ministry and took a huge pay decrease. It was a huge pay decrease. And man, we were just, I look back, I don't know how we made it, all right? I mean, there were times we had to choose between medicine or clothing. I mean, it was rough. And I would be in a good mood, and I'd go in my office just to kind of, you know, check our bank account and to find out that there was only like $5 left in the bank account. Our margins were gone. And I went in the office a good mood, and I came out of the office in a horrible mood. My stress was up to the ceiling. My wife's asking me what's wrong, and I didn't want to worry her about it. And so I was like, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. And I'm trying to figure out a new way to tell her that we can't eat for 3 days. And so I took the spiritual approach. I was like, babe, you know what would be fun? If we went on a 3-day fast together, that would be awesome. She never went for it. You ever get that little automated text from your bank that says insufficient funds or that funds are low? How does that grab you? Does it make you all happy and warm inside? No, when your margin decreases, your stress goes through the roof. It was Christmas Eve. We were at Sheila's parents' home, and we are working hard to pay off everything. And so I put out some fairly big checks to pay some stuff off and, you know, paid cash for our Christmas and thought, you know, we're all right. It's Christmas Eve and we made it. And I forgot that I had a $700 check floating out there, and this idiot cashed it the day before Christmas. It wasn't an idiot, but somebody I know well. So he's an idiot. Cashed it the day before Christmas, and we're sitting there Christmas Eve, all the festivities going on, and my phone buzzes, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, I'm $36 in the negative. And man, I tell you, at that moment, stress went up and Christmas sucked from that moment on. It wasn't like we didn't have money anywhere, you know, I could transfer and stuff like that. But when margins decrease, stress goes up. It happens all the time. Let me give you another example. Todd, come up here really quick. Come on, don't be shy. Come up here. For personal space, when margins decrease, stress goes up. Now, why don't you just stand? Yep, come a little closer. Stand right there. Perfect. Now, right now, Todd has some margin. Are you comfortable? It's good. Now, when margins decrease, how you doing?
Good.
If you kiss me, you're out of the church, I swear. A little uncomfortable right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, why is that?
Because you're very close.
Mm-hmm.
You have good breath, though.
I just took a minute. Do you think you could work like this? No, don't back up. I see you leaning backwards. I'm going to lean in even closer. Now, thank you. Now, whenever your margins decrease, you become uncomfortable, you become stressed. He's thinking, I need to go to Radiant, some other church where a pastor's not going to do that. It happens all the time, is that when our margins decrease, our stress will always go up. Now, ladies, you know what it's like when you're not looking to have a baby and your friend is like comes a day late, but you can cope with it because you still have margin. But then 12 days in and you've lost your margin, what happens? Yeah, your stress is going crazy, right? My wife came to me 3 years ago, and we had a scare, and she's like, I'm 12 days late. And she's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, so I don't know about you. I'm moving out. I mean, I had my answer. I was calling some buddies. But so when margins decrease, stress will increase. Number two, when margins decrease, our focus narrows. When margins decrease, our focus narrows. We are forced to put our emotional energy in whatever situation is pushing us over the edge. You ever ride your bike on the sidewalk, and as long as you're in the middle of the sidewalk, it's good, but when you get over to the edge, on that little part of the edge, and that little cut, and you're like, oh, man, and simple would be a simple adjustment to make, but when you're right on the edge, you're so consumed, a simple move is now almost impossible, and you're just kind of like teetering on the edge, and until maybe you go off the edge because your focus, you become hyper-focused when your margins decrease. Whatever it is in that area, you become hyper-focused in that area. If I speak this far back from the stage, I'm totally comfortable. But if I want to preach the entire service, I have to look down. And if I want to just get to the very edge of the stage, I'm not comfortable. I got a little belly that kind of wants to push me forward. And so it's the same way in anything that I can't preach at my best, because if I'm going to move on this stage, I have to watch you, think of my notes, and watch the stage, because anytime your margin decreases, your focus narrows. Just like when Todd came up here, the only thing he's thinking about is, why is this man's nose on my cheek? His focus narrowed. Didn't matter what he was having for lunch. Didn't matter what he was thinking about before I asked him up. All he was thinking about is, this is really awkward. And your focus narrows. The third thing that happens is relationships suffer. When margins decrease, your relationships will suffer. Every time. How's your marriage when there's no financial margin? Isn't it like some of the most difficult time in your marriage when there is no financial margin at all? The Kansas City State did a recent study, and what they found was that regardless of how much money you make, that fights about money are always the biggest contributor to divorce, regardless of how much money you make, because typically the more money you make, the more money you spend, and so there's still no margin. When margins decrease, relationships suffer because dad's frustrated, mom's always on edge, and you know, all we ever talk about is money, and no one likes to be at home, and family is being pushed over, and dad or mom are never fully present because in the back of their mind they're thinking about how we're going to get out of this situation. Relationships suffer when margins decrease because we all have limits. And if you constantly live on the edge with no margin, at some point, please hear me, you stop enjoying life. And if we're honest with ourselves, some of us have pushed ourselves so hard in the pursuit of the American dream that if we're honest, we're not enjoying life. So what drives us? What pushes us in this direction, and what keeps us trapped? I mean, why not downsize the house to create some financial margin? Why not get the cheaper car for $18,000 instead of the car for $34,000? Why not say no more often to create some schedule margin? Why do we walk on the edge morally when one tiny step makes us feel horribly guilty every time we step over the line? What causes us to stay in the place that we hate? Now, some might say, well, it's just a season in life, and that could be. Some might say that this is just the way that it is. It's what life is, and some of you are here thinking that now, that this guy, I just wish he would go on to something else because it's impossible to live any other way. Some of you might say, well, it's discipline. I have no discipline in the matter. But let me tell you what I think might push us in this direction. I think it's fear. Now, let me tell you why. If I was to ask you, why don't you stop, or why don't you downsize, or why don't you create some margin, or why don't you do less, or why don't you pull your kids out of a few activities, you might finish the sentence with, if I do that, I'm afraid that. I'm afraid that if I tell them I can't come in and work overtime, that. If I don't take my kids to everything, I'm afraid that. If I don't work the overtime, if I don't fill up every volunteer position, I'm afraid that. And so what is it that we're afraid of? I think, for one, we're afraid of missing out. You know, what if I don't give my kids the greatest Christmas? What if I don't work the extra hours? Or what if I'm not the best? Or what if someone passes me? Or what if someone gets recognized above and beyond me? We're afraid of missing out. I think we're also afraid of falling behind. That friends do this with their kids. Their neighbor's kids is in soccer and cheer and band and dance and everything else. And let's face it, my kids are better than their kids. And so if their kids do it, I have to do it because I don't want to fall behind, and I certainly don't want my kids to fall behind. Parents, listen, what's interesting to me is that we stretch our schedules so thin, even our finances, because it's not cheap to get kids in extracurricular activities, and we stretch them so thin in hopes of being good parents, and in return what happens is we're so exhausted and so stressed that we don't have the energy to be good parents. You know it's true. I've been there, where we do all this stuff because we want to be great parents, and what happens every time our kids are with us, my margins have decreased, my stress has gone up, and I'm a horrible father. And I did it in the name of being a good dad, and it backfired on me. I think we have a fear of not mattering, the end of life, that our life will account for nothing. And this is probably mine, the fear that you stand before God and he says, you didn't use what I gave you. And the only solution is to do more and to matter more and to go harder and to work yourself to death, all in the name of leaving something, some type of legacy. And so listen, we all find ourselves in the same condition, decreasing margins. And yet if we look through the Bible, we see this conversation that God continues to have. You're not going to see the word margin in there, but you're going to see this conversation that God has where he's continued to call his people away from the edge. And we're going to close with three ways that God created margin. The backstory is that God created Israel to be the kind of his showcase people. Van Clays, I just noticed you guys. I'm so happy to see you too. That wanted to be his showcase people. And so, you know, he was going to, the world would see what kind of God that they followed based upon how he blessed them and what he did with them and for them and how he preserved them. And so there was one problem that these, the people, the Israelites, were in bondage in Egypt and they were in a slave state. And so God raises up Moses to lead them out of slavery and out of captivity. Now, please hear me. Everyone who left Egypt and followed Moses knew nothing but slavery. Generation after generation, worked from sun up to sundown. You did nothing but what Pharaoh told you to. Society was a 24/7 work day, and if you quit working, you died. If you got sick, you died because no one was putting money into you with medicine when you're sick. Now, God leads them out of slavery, and he has to reestablish a new way of life, and he has to give new rules by which to live by. And God begins to outline what he wants this new society to look like. Now understand, he's establishing a new country, a new people, a new way of system, a way of thinking, a new value system, and he's washing away the past. And what I find interesting is that God builds margin into this society. Look at the first one. God says, you shall observe a Sabbath. He says it in Exodus. Remember on the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But on the seventh day, it is Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall do no work. It's God saying, you shall taketh a day offeth. How much do you love a God that says, hey, you need to rest. You need to take a step back. Now listen, this is easy for us to grasp. But understand, a slave state that worked 24/7, that if you took a day off, you were buried. You were done. That's the only way you got a day off. And here God says, you need to quit working. And this was a hand-to-mouth society. You don't milk the cow, you don't have any milk. You don't plow the field, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't live. Now imagine that kind of society coming from a slave nation where God mandates that they rest. And he says, whatever you're doing on Friday night when the sun goes down, you drop it. And you don't pick it up until the sun comes up Sunday morning. You do absolutely nothing. Now, God's telling this new culture that it's against the law to work without margin. I mean, that's fascinating to me. That God, in his concern for creation, his being, said, you can't push it to the edge and be sustainable and live the type of life that I want you to live, and so I will mandate that you take a day of rest. Now, what would that look like for us? Not because we're commanded to do it, but because God knows what's best. What would it look like for you if you had a day where you did absolutely nothing? No cleaning, no chores, no projects, no running your kids around. All you had to do was rest. Some of you are thinking, I can't even imagine what that would be like. Maybe we need to take that step. Maybe we stretched ourselves so thin that we're not even enjoying the life that God's called us to enjoy. Now, there was something important that God was establishing with them in this, and what he was trying to establish with them was trust, in saying that I know you're hand to mouth, and I know you're thinking that work can't get done, and we could never finish, and how's this going to work? And God says, you're going to have to trust me. Second thing that he instituted was the tithe. Now, this is not a financial talk. I don't give those very often. Just going to touch on it briefly. God said, look, a percentage of what you take in, it's not for you. A percentage of what you get, it's not for you. Because listen, I know you can stretch it, and I know you could live to the edge, but God said a percentage of what you take in will go towards the religious system, and it's going to go for the poor. And so the Hebrew people would have money stored in a jar or something that was coming in, and they knew it couldn't go out. They had supplies that were coming in that couldn't go out because it wasn't just theirs to freely push themselves to the limit. And then God even goes further, where he says that you're going to live with margin in the land. And he says, every 7 years, you can't plant anything. Every 7 years, you can't work the soil, you can't plant, you can't harvest. And you can see them thinking, well, how are we going to live? And God says, you have to trust me. Not only that, he gives this principle for gleaning. And look what he says about harvesting your fields in Leviticus 9. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleaning of your harvest. In other words, God's saying that in your field, you can't go to the corners and harvest the goods there. You have to leave it. And here's what he says in verse 10. He says, do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. God says, look, I'm going to push you because I know if I leave you to yourself, you're going to stretch yourself to the edge. You're going to live without margin. And God says, guess what? I'm going to force you to trust me. And so when you harvest, the edges are off limit. You don't touch them. I know you can harvest more. I know you could do more work. And God says, just leave it. And after your first pass, if there's still harvest left, you don't go back and get it. But God, I can work harder. We're leaving money on the table. God says, you're going to have to trust me. This is a word for some of us today. This is a word that God would say, you're going to have to do less and trust on me more because the life you're living is unsustainable. And I love how God built in this margin for this society. And then he says in Leviticus, the second part, he says, I am the Lord your God. Here's what he's saying is that if I'm your God, you have to trust me. And I'm going to create space. And I know that you could do more and you can work harder and you can fill everything to the edges, but I will not allow it. Deuteronomy 24, he says, remember when you were slaves in Egypt, the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That's why I command you to do this. When you're harvesting in the field, you overlook a sheaf. Do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien and the fatherless and the widow so that the Lord God may bless you in all the work of your hand. And we're getting ready to close here. This is so foreign to us. God says, you want me to bless you? Then do less. You want me to bless you? Then do less and trust me more. Don't force it. Don't lose your margin. Now, this was a difficult concept for them to grasp, and it's difficult for you to grasp because right now you're thinking, never going to happen. And I think God's word for us right now, today, is to say, why don't you do a little less so I can bless you more? Now, here's what our rebuttal would be, God, so you're telling us that we can do all that we can do and that you're going to fill in the gaps with what only you can do. And God would say, exactly. If we do all that we can do, or if we don't do all that we can do, you're going to multiply the work that we did do? So you're saying that we could do more, but you're telling us not, but you're going to multiply what we did? And God says, exactly. Exactly. And then Jesus comes along and he says, look, why are you pursuing everything and living life to the edges? Why are you pursuing things as the pagans do? And then he says these simple words. He says, if you would just slow down and seek the kingdom of God, the rest of this stuff will fall into place. And so my word for us today in 2014 is to step away from the edge. Create some margin. It's going to be work because we're so trapped in it. Create some financial margin. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have to work at it. And if you need help, we have people that can help you with that. Create some margin in your schedule so you're not always on edge. We have emotional bandwidth, emotional reserve to deal with the junk when it happens. Listen, step away from the edge morally so you're not going to step over and be riddled with guilt when it's done. God's word for us today is to step away from the edge. Now, we're going to look at this for a couple more weeks on what this looks like with our time and even with finances on what that typically looks like. Excuse me. And my challenge to you is that this is a great series for you to invite someone to because everyone that you know is struggling with this idea of margin. Everyone is because we're pushed to the limit. And so I'm going to ask that you come back. You just, devote yourself to the next 3 or 4 weeks here on Sunday and see what God might do for you. If you want to take a different course in 2014, it's not going to happen by accident. You want to be more refreshed, have financial margin, have emotional margin, have relationship margin. At the end of this year, it's going to take some work and it's going to take some planning and it will take some practice. But God says, if you will do less, I can bless you more. That's amazing to me. Stand, will you please? Reveal, my homework to you is this simple question. Where do you need margin? We have our groups that are most of them, many of them, starting next week. And if you haven't checked one out, you need to get involved in one. They're only 3 months now, and some of them are only going to meet, you know, twice a month, so it's only a six-time commitment. Invest in yourself in that area. And then some of you community group leaders, maybe this is a good icebreaker question. In what area do you need margin in your life? In what area do you need some room? And that's my challenge. Young adults, you guys are meeting today for lunch in the church office, so I want to strongly encourage you to be there for that. It's at Bell and Grand, and if you don't know where that's at, you can see me and I'll get that for you. Let's pray. Lord, this is a series that I know it's counterintuitive in a large way, because culture just keeps pushing us further and further. And man, to hear that, if we would take a step back and trust you, that you can do more with the less work that we do, is rather odd to even hear. But Lord, you speak to that in regards to our finances, in regards to our time, that if we would quit trying to live to the edge, and if we would take a step back and trust you more, that we position ourselves for even greater blessing. And so, Lord, I pray that to us, that it really does come down to a matter of trust, that we don't trust that if we don't go full speed ahead in every area of life, we don't trust you that you can do what only you can do. And so, would you begin to deal with us in this area of trust? Lord, watching people perform on the edge is entertaining. Living on the edge is exhausting. And so let this be a year of margin. Margin emotionally and in your relationships. Margin financially. Margin with your schedule. That you would have more. You would have more than what is necessary. Lord, put people in our mind's eye and bring them along our path this week, that we would play a part in bringing someone closer to you by a simple invitation. And so, Lord, would you bless us? And again, I ask for a great year upon the Reveal Church family. Let us be effective in what you've called us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Hey, remember, if you're a guest, I'd love to meet you. Please come back next week. Invite some friends. We'll continue this series. If you're a guest, I'd love to meet you. If you'd like prayer, I'd love to have some leaders pray for you as well. God bless you guys.